Kale and Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
A $20,000 reward that's being offered for information leading to the arrest and conviction of a person of interest, if you will, a suspect who is accused of being on a bus, on a Philadelphia bus, and shooting and killing an Upper Darby High School student, a 15-year-old kid. That victim, Zakir Whitfield, his family speaking out, his father speaking out, grandparents speaking out. But in this case, the suspect, 17-year-old Zaiki Davis, was on the bus, riding the bus, gets off the bus, and turns, as he's getting off the bus, shoots and kills this 15-year-old at 40th and Girard. That story making headlines as well. We've got a Philadelphia City Councilwoman speaking out, Kendra Brooks. Her dog, Buzz, a little poodle. She's very sad that her poodle was taken. The poodle apparently got through the fence of her home in Logan. I don't think she's offering a reward, but she's putting up posters and putting out the words, speaking out about that one.
Okay.
Excuse me.
You're right, Dawn Stalker.
There it is.
Sorry. Sorry, Dawn Stalker. Got something caught. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
I can't reach. Like, I'm over here.
Yeah, there's
cough button. Is
I late. Know. Her setup is not the best. Sorry about that.
No. So you're going to love this next story. We haven't talked a lot about what's going on with Alina Haba, Trump's choice for U.S. attorney in New Jersey. So there's a story out of, and she has said now she will investigate this one, and it's out of Paterson, New Jersey.
Yep.
Where, do we have the story? Is this on the cut sheet?
No.
Okay.
No, but I've been reading about this, but. So.
Okay.
Yep.
So this, I just want to make sure that I'm not, that we don't have it scheduled for, I didn't see it on the sheet. Okay, so this is a New Jersey police officer who has sewn a Palestinian flag.
Uh-oh.
On his uniform, and so there are reports of this. Some citizens are not happy about the fact that this is on his uniform,
right,
to pay homage, he says, to his ethnic roots.
And worth noting, too, that Alina Haba is of Iraqi descent. Her parents are Iraqi. I think that's the
Christian.
Correct.
Yeah. So she is, this is Officer Adib Ignaz. And he has spoken to an interviewer, and he's bilingual, so speaking in Arab, and says that he wants to represent his origins. His family is originally Palestinian, wearing that Palestinian flag patch on his uniform. And so some people have a problem with it. He was born in the United States. He's been on the force for the past 3 years. But there are videos of this, as people say this is not appropriate, because you can't just put a flag, any patch you want, sewn on your uniform. And so there's a pushback between some citizens who think this is not appropriate and others who say that it's the commitment to diversity in New Jersey. So I know that as far as the U.S. attorney-elect, she is somebody who has said she would look into it only because she's received calls about this.
And Alina Haba is my choice as well. Not necessarily for U.S. attorney. She would just be my choice in every aspect of life. But so what? Now, what office or brand? Who does he work for? You're talking about the uniform.
He's actually a Paterson, New Jersey. He's a uniformed police officer.
Okay, so not military.
Not military.
Because I was going to say, if it's in the military, well, you can't be advocating publicly for America's enemy while serving America in the line of duty. Now, police, I guess I would have less of an issue with it.
No, it's the same thing in my...
You think so?
Yeah, same thing in my book, absolutely.
Okay, yeah, because absolutely. As a police officer, he's not fighting Hamas or, terrorists. He's just fighting bad guys here in this country.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Because then what happens when one of these kook protests breaks out and one of these pro-Palestinian people are breaking things fire?
Yeah.
And, this police officer looks like a, supporter of that, no?
Yeah, I guess. But then if he is, in the line of duty and he arrests these protesters once they go above and beyond their right to protest peacefully under free speech, then he's doing his job. I have less of an issue with it. That's actually a very interesting story. That's kind of a slippery slope, is it not?
It's remember in, was it Springfield Township, which is right, it's Montgomery County, right out, I mean, it's like, I drive by their police department every day because it's right outside the Northwest Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They had that controversy a year or two ago where they wanted, they had little patches that just said back the blue and they had a flag and it was a back and forth.
Yeah. Should never have been a back and forth, by the way.
So police departments, you know, I guess this is a local issue. I don't know that it's so it's a free speech, but if you have a uniform, generally speaking, the municipality you work for gets to dictate what patch is on that uniform. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, but then aren't we talking about the government censoring speech? And isn't that what we fight against?
Because
you're a government employee. So I don't know.
It's a great issue. In this case, you know, I will also say this particular officer, does it work well for him that just yesterday we had, you know, hundreds of Palestinians in, you know, over in Gaza who were protesting against Hamas and saying that, you know, now they're feeling that they're free to do this, which because they haven't had an election in like 18 years. And so you had all of these Palestinian protesters who are anti-Hamas blaming the terrorist group for oppressing them, blaming them for all the problems that they've suffered.
Jimmy Kelly just said that a caller that couldn't wait on hold just called in and said a lot of police officers in Paterson, New Jersey are wearing this Palestinian flag. I remember years ago going to a Middle Eastern buffet-type restaurant in Paterson. I think there's a big Arabic population
there is.
In Paterson.
There's some wild stuff going on there, by the way.
Yeah.
There's some wild stuff. I don't know. Like the mayor is all woke, and I don't know what's happening in Paterson.
Well, we have also with acting New Jersey U.S. Attorney Lena Haba. She's on this.
Oh yeah, good job, Phil. What? Look at the YouTube video. Welcome to Little Palestine.
From Paterson to Jerusalem.
So this is, you know, these kinds of signs.
Wow.
People are very upset.
5,692 miles. How many miles is your flight to Italy, Dawn? Now that we're tracking trips.
I don't know. I sleep.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
I sleep the whole time.
If these people like that part of the world so much, then go live there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't see any of them going to, you know, packing up and moving to Gaza.
No. Put your money where Rosie O'Donnell's mouth is.
Yeah.
Leave.
So again,
disgraceful.
You know, you have taxpayers, you know, saying in protests in New Jersey, we're not Palestine, we're Paterson.
Yes, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
So that controversy, also with Alina Haba, a bunch of.
By the way, if you're a homosexual that lives there, or if you're a woman and stuff, and you believe in a lot of the teachings of, you know, Sharia law and that stuff that they believe in the Middle East, like. Maybe you're scared for your life. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. If Palestine's so great, then, you know, why are they not so diverse in their acceptance of beliefs over
exactly.
there?
They're all such hypocrites. They would last 10 seconds there.
Ugh. 10.
So there's another question as far as Alina Haba. Remember that the other U.S. attorney... who was before her was the brother of Representative Ro Khanna.
Oh,
remember this?
Yeah.
So just to give you like a little backdrop of this entire situation. Is she on a collision course with a federal judge over President Trump's order, because he's done all these executive orders? One of the orders was to push the pause button on these cases against business individuals who allegedly engaged in bribery in violation of the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act. And so you have a North Jersey U.S. District Judge. This is Michael Farbiars, and he refused a request by John Giordano,
Dom's
before,
brother.
Yeah. Not Dom's brother, who was before Alina Haba.
Okay.
And so they wanted a 6-month delay in a case that involves alleged bribery in India And instead, the judge ordered the prosecutors to choose between either going to trial, like coming up in a couple weeks, or a motion to dismiss. So there are some, my point to you is this, there are some very contentious cases that she is inheriting. I think it's interesting to just watch, what does she honor? Where does she go? I mean, she's a smart cookie. And she's very sharp. So we'll follow this. But I just want to start really following Alina Haba. Yeah. What is she doing as the U.S. attorney in New Jersey?
Bob Fazio, who just signed up for the bike ride. Thanks, Bob. Is on the YouTube chat. He says, a uniform is a uniform, not a billboard. Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah, valid point.
We don't want your pledge pin.
Yeah.
On the. By the way, Don, I don't mean to interrupt your news, but there is a representative of Baby the Deer on the on line one who wants to debate us.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I would like to take this.
Okay, let me do the sponsor really quick. Piazza Auto Group, because, baby, we got to get to you, dear.
Apparently, we're spreading misinformation. So I invited the representatives for Baby the Deer.
Right, the social media litigation team of Bambi's twin.
To call in and set the record straight on what we got wrong. Because we're a free speech station.
Yes. Okay. Well, Piazza Auto Group, they love the baby deers. Lease a new 2025 Honda Civic or HRV. This starts at $249 a month for 36 months. Piazza Honda. Visit Piazza Honda of Philadelphia, Langhorne, Pottstown, Reading, or Springfield for details. Online, piazzahonda.com. Thank you, Piazza Auto Group. I know it's blustery today with wind, sun, 55 degrees, but hang on, baby, because we're heating up to 80 degrees. Some models are now saying 83 degrees on Saturday, 70 for Sunday.
83?
83 degrees for your Saturday. Nick Cale.
Yeah, great day to spend your afternoon in a dance studio.
That's some good hunting weather.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
a bunch of moms hooting and hollering. Thinking their kid's the next Taylor Swift. God
please,
help me.
Can somebody get video of Nick?
Just forget just video. Please. Just send me a flask.
Dance for me, Nicky. He loves to go to the dance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's
not my,
like,
kind of, not my kind of dancing. I prefer Alina Haba late at night on a pole.
Oh, my Lord.
What? Okay. She would hit you over the head with a pole.
She would. She's got that Iraqi temper.
Wow. Yeah.
And so that's the thing with in the because we have a big population of different people who've Lebanon, Iraqi, who are Christian. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, she is. And they've either come to this country, still have family there who are very concerned about the Christian communities who are persecuted in the Middle East.
Yep. All right. Thank you very much, Dawn. So we're going to go to line one in a moment. But for those maybe that missed Monday's show. You know, we talked about this story, Cliff Note version. Lady, I believe, 64 years old, living in, I think, a trailer park community, has a baby deer and has had the deer from Jump Street, basically. Pennsylvania Gaming Commission says, sorry, you cannot do this. And there's, of course, laws out there, I think, something to the effect of, you know, if you take one from the wild, it's against the law. But if you've had it from the beginning and it was in captivity all along, I guess technically it's okay. We had the story in the news. We were reading from, I forget what the outlet was. It was a mainstream, media outlet.
Of them have reported. CBS, ABC.
Yeah.
But we were reading from The Inquirer, Jesse
Inquirer,
Bunch, and People Magazine.
Okay.
And also the original report from the Pennsylvania Game Commission.
Well, that's one of the issues with this guy or this person who's calling in who says that we're taking the talking points from the Gaming Commission.
So we obviously, after the show, will usually grab two or three things that we thought were worth repopulating on social media. We'll clip it and we'll post it. And in the aftermath of posting it the last couple of days, our mentions have been blowing up from a lot of baby supporters
out
there. By the
way, I deleted the tweet because I just couldn't take it anymore with these people.
Oh, you did?
I deleted the tweet because
I just
mute
the conversation.
I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just didn't even see it.
Yeah. Well,
thank God. All right, so
because I was trying to chase the nice little deer out of my yard.
Yeah, let's go to line one. Anonymous person that's not a bot, but is here to defend the deer and the defendant in this case. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I'm not a bot, but thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Thank you, Greg, for actually inviting me on.
No problem.
And I really appreciate freedom of speech. That's what I fought for in the military, and
thank you for your service.
That's what I'm here for right now.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, I just want to clarify things, and you know, maybe you know, People Magazine kind of took things out of context. In my opinion, it's very one-sided when it comes from mainstream media.
Sure.
But you know, Elon Musk did post about this. Marjorie Taylor Greene did post about this actual issue on the side of, you know, baby. So let me go over some things. First off, where did the trailer park thing come from? Because they don't live in a trailer park. They live in a 3-acre lot.
Looks
like a manufactured home.
On the video I saw, it looked like a trailer park.
It's definitely not a trailer park.
Okay.
But they do have like a 3-acre lot that backs up to the woods.
Got it.
That's the first thing, but so let me just update you on what's going on right now with the court case. They filed a petition for return of property. They have a receipt from the neighbor. Candy and Tammy did not take baby, right? The baby was actually the neighbor's deer, and they met it when it was first three months old. It walked over to them, and then it sort of adopted them because it was a neighborhood pet deer. And so everyone in the neighborhood knew who baby was. And they ended up providing food and care for it. They had like a 10x10 shed with fresh hay. They even had a mattress out for it to lay on. So it was living the life. But the main issue was they wanted to make sure it was legally kept. And so they tried to do everything they could to make sure it was fully legal. They even registered it as a emotional support pet because Candy is unfortunately permanently in a wheelchair, so she doesn't, you know, she doesn't really leave her home.
So they tried to register it as an ESA?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they did. It was castrated, or we could say neutered, like any animal or pet would be, or even like a bull would be a steer, you know. And the reason being is because for safety, right? They're just trying to comply with the Pennsylvania Pennsylvania deer farm like laws.
So my question is then, what does the law state? Because I was under the impression from what I read, again, not my opinion, but what was published, mm-hmm. was that if you get a deer from these deer farms, that's legal. Mm-hmm. But if the yes. facts are that this was a deer that at 3 months old emerged from the woods and stuck around in this neighborhood because it was being fed, that is against the law. So I don't know what the law is, or I don't really care what the law is. To me, the point being that I was trying to make, at least me, not Dawn or Greg specifically, I don't want to speak for them, was we can't pick and choose what laws and which laws we decide to adhere to and which ones we decide to, you know, just, you know, say, I don't really care. I mean, if you're law and order, you're law and order 100%. You can't pick and choose a la carte. So do you know specifically what the law says, and did the yes. Gaming Commission then overstep their bounds?
Yeah, absolutely. So the law is you cannot take an animal from the wild, right?
That's
where the Gaming Commission, that's their jurisdiction, sort of. But by owning a deer, by having an actual receipt for purchase from a deer farm, that falls under agricultural. So that's actually not even their jurisdiction in the first place.
Do they have that receipt?
Yeah. So for in the petition that was just filed, they submitted that receipt that proves that baby was purchased from a specific deer farm, as well as other things. So, but that's coming. That date is on the 3rd of April, so we're all kind of looking forward to that date.
I'm not saying that you're contradicting yourself, but it sounds like you've given me mm-hmm. two conflicting viewpoints. You say that this was purchased from a deer farm, but I think you also right. said that this was a deer that came out of the wild that started showing up 3 months in.
At the neighbor's house. At the neighbor's yes. house? Where was the deer
born? The neighbor,
Here's the crux of the whole thing, and I had reported uh-huh. this at the time. The Game Commission reported that they were called in So they get information that an animal from the wild, this is, so say you're the game commission, you're the officer. They get a report that an animal born in the wild is now being held in captivity, and so they go to take the animal. If that animal can be proved to have been born not in the wild, but in captivity, even if it's not a deer farm, if it was born in captivity, my understanding, Game Commission has no jurisdiction. So if they have that report, then they could get baby back who's at a licensed facility right now as we speak.
Hmm.
Right?
Well, yeah. Well, thank you for the call, anonymous caller. We appreciate it.
Well, hang on. Did you hear any of that, sir? Yeah.
I missed about 10 seconds.
Oh, all right.
The question is, if they have documentation, they have documentation that this deer was born in captivity.
Mm-hmm.
They do?
They have documentation. That's correct. The deer was born in captivity because they purchased it from a game farm or from a deer farm.
Oh.
Right. So that proves that it was legally born in a deer farm.
But if it's legal, I don't care then.
It.
Yeah. So it don't matter to me then.
Yeah.
So if it was legally purchased, then what's the
Yeah, who called the game commission?
Yeah.
It's probably a neighbor that's just annoyed by it.
That's exactly it. But they also knew about baby for a few years because initially they tried to register it earlier on, and they couldn't. They tried everything to just legally own it, and then, you know, 2 years later, this is where we're at. That receipt sort of, like, it was lost. Okay, so the lady who bought it, she's older. She's had a few strokes, so she's not... She's not all, you know, like my mom had a stroke, so I totally understand this.
Mm-hmm.
But she ended up finding the receipt within the last month, right? So that's how that came about, and it's been submitted. We're also working with, like, Mayor Longo, Dave Maloney, Representative Dave Maloney, and, we've talked to, like, Scott Pressler. We've been reaching out to people about this issue. The biggest problem I have is mainstream media misreporting information. And when I first saw this story at the very beginning, I just got pissed off because it felt very one-sided.
Sure, it is.
So I personally found Tammy's number. I called Tammy. I talked to them, and to be honest, they're really good people.
Good.
So I felt bad for them because they didn't have a voice. No one was sticking up for them.
Well, you're their voice
here.
That's
why we came together.
Yeah.
Nice.
We really have to break, but thank you so much for calling in and putting this side of the story out because we didn't know it. So thanks, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, if it's all legal, I am totally fine with that. I have no problem.
This isn't WPHT versus Bambi.
No.
We're just here to make entertaining radio and report news, kind of.
And occasionally process some venison jerky.
I appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to listen.
All right, brother.
Thanks, buddy.
There he is.
All right.
Guy on line one, we'll call him. There he is.
All right, the good news is that the buck is fine. Is, you know what I mean? Is it a licensed facility?
Yeah.
The game commission won't say where.
Yeah.
But if she goes, you know, lady in a wheelchair and she has a lot of support and she says, here's where I think they should just give baby back.
Yeah, and for all the people who are like, who cares? It's just a stupid deer. Like, Elon Musk has weighed out on this. Like, this is a big news story.
Yeah.
It's a big news story that's happening in Pennsylvania. So.
Yeah. And Marjorie Taylor Greene weighed in.
Everybody calm down.
So what's more important for Scott Pressler? Flipping jersey from blue to red or saving baby? We'll have to ask him.
What's really important to us is breaking.
Yes, because unlike NPR, we do have commercials to play back after this.
Yeah, we got to talk about a little magic, though. Make the magic happen in your kitchen with Kitchen Magic. Family-owned Kitchen Magic has been making dream kitchens come true to life for more than 45 years and making 60,000 homeowners very happy. Kitchen Magic's experts are going to guide you every single step of the way, from the free in-home design consultation to top-notch installation. So whether you're thinking about refacing or brand new cabinetry, or what about a complete makeover, your kitchen transformation is covered with high-quality American-made products. And your new kitchen, your new kitchen's going to be functional and enduring as it is beautiful. Right now, enjoy an amazing 40% off installation. KitchenMagic.com. KitchenMagic.com. Get 40% off the cost of installation. Tell Dawn sent you.
Time to tell you about my friends at Natural Lawn of America. When you're choosing a lawn care service, doesn't it make sense to hire a company that provides better results and is safer for your family and your pets? That's why I chose Natural Lawn of America, my lawn care company. At Natural Lawn, they believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals, and they use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. But don't take my word for it. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn's safer services and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn. Schedule Natural Lawn's full-service program today and get free seeding every year. If you want a greener, healthier lawn plus free seeding, call Natural Lawn, 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Cut sheet coming up in just about 10 minutes as we continue, Nick, Dawn, and Greg. And speaking of continuing, hopefully the last day we talk about this story. I definitely think it'll be out of the news cycle by Monday, but the Signal app saga continues. And there's a couple of things that we need to touch on from yesterday's battles on the Hill. And you'll hear some of the commentary, the opinions, the questioning coming up in the cut sheet. I just wanted to start with a few things. First of all, I think lost in all of this is the fact that, and, you know, I was critical of Mike Waltz, but lost in all of this, the mission was a success. There were no lives of American soldiers lost. They pulled it off basically flawlessly beyond this mishap, obviously, with the app. And I'm not downplaying the app and the story. I thought it was a big story. Some people think it's a big deal. Others think it's a small deal. Some say no deal. Who cares? But lost in all of this, it was a success. And also, kudos to this administration for being far tougher on these terrorist scumbags, the Houthis, Yemen, bankrolled by Iran, than the previous administration. Remember, it was Biden that said they were no longer a terrorist organization. Mm-hmm. They are a terrorist organization, and I want the bombs dropped on their heads. I also think that I was correct where I said in the big take on Tuesday that if I was Trump, and again, I was framing it from my point of view, I would have been pissed. Politico, for what it's worth, not an ally of the Trump administration, says that Trump was in fact mad and suspicious that Waltz had Atlantic editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg's number saved in his phone in the first place, and they are citing three people familiar with the situation who were granted anonymity to discuss private conversations. And a fourth person said the president was also particularly perturbed by the embarrassing nature of the episode, which makes me wonder, do we have more moles? Do we have more rats in this administration? Why is it that the Democrat administrations are supposedly so tight-lipped? And every time Trump's in office, I've got stuff being leaked out that makes the guy that I voted for look bad. And again, my big take was, if I was Trump, I would be mad. Now, Dawn, I think you were right, because I was, you know, saying that, you know, Mike Waltz has to be held accountable. You thought it would go all the way up to the top with Pete Hegseth, and surprise, surprise, MSNBC with a column. Pete Hegseth, not Mike Waltz, made the biggest mistake in the Signal scandal. The writer of this column for MSNBC says it was Hegseth who put the precise timing and sequencing of the entire operation into an unclassified text app. It was Hegseth who revealed the aircraft. It was Hegseth who moved classified information, blah, blah, blah. It was Hegseth that put brave service members at risk. Do you get the sense that they have now shifted the blame to Hegseth? Because I kind of feel like you were suggesting that's the route they would take.
Well, because I think he's the big name, and he's who they are after. But, you know, Secretary Hegseth put out there, oh, you know, they never gave the location, they never gave any of this, that it's not classified. So if they are saying this was never classified information, that they're having a discussion, maybe you feel that it was too much information on a discussion, but it was encrypted.
Uh-huh.
And this app, this Signal app, is used by, you know, it was approved at some point during the past administration. I think as long as they say and they determine that it was not classified, there's no criminality.
Right.
And that's what, that's really why an investigation is always required with this stuff. Did anybody break the law? Because people have, in fact, with security breaches or releasing classified. Well, I guess unless you hide classified information like in your garage by your Corvette, then I guess that's okay.
Yes.
But other than that,
yes,
you could go to jail. But no, they're, yeah, what they're saying is this was not classified. You might think it was not appropriate. I think that they pretty much have fixed the situation as far as where they're going to have their discussions. But they still do have to find out, because people were calling in yesterday, I know, mid-morning, saying, people who are much more media savvy on this stuff, saying it's still, and I believe this, it's just too weird to me that this very liberal, very left-leaning, anti-Trump Atlantic.
Weird how?
I just feel, I am more and more convinced
that
every minute that somebody from within invited him, Jeffrey Goldberg, in.
So we have a skunk.
I'm just convinced by that. Yep.
We have a bad actor
to embarrass them.
That's
my theory.
So somebody who's not Walz, Hegseth, it's somebody not, else.
Well, it, first of all,
there weren't that many people on the signal chat.
First of all, Greg, first and foremost,
yeah,
those people that you just named, the biggity bigs, it's their aide. So even that's what we're, the one storyline, and we still haven't gotten to the bottom of this, is it was somebody's aide who may have inadvertently done this. But Walz had said, like, this is not in our context. How did this get in there?
I don't think Hegseth said that. I think he said that his job was to keep everybody abreast of the situation.
Well, Walz said that.
Here, I've got the comments.
Said it in the interview.
So Hegseth tweeted this yesterday. He said, yeah, so let me get this straight. This is Pete Hegseth on X.
Yeah.
The Atlantic released the so-called war plans, and those plans include no names, no targets, no locations, no units, no routes, no sources, no methods, and no classified information. Those are some really S-word war plans. Rhymes with pity. This only proves one thing, according to Hegseth, that Jeff Goldberg has never seen a war plan or, quote, an attack plan, as he now calls it. Not even close. As I type this, my team and I are traveling the Indopacom region, meeting with commanders and talking to troops. These are the guys who make real war plans. We continue to do our job while the media continues, blah, blah, blah. So now you have, and everybody's in their own corner on this, which again is why I say some people think it's a big story, it's a small story, or it's not a story at all. One person says it's time to call the Atlantic's bluff, charge Goldberg with espionage for failing to identify and asking to be removed from a text group that he wasn't authorized to be on in the first place.
Yeah, he should have removed himself from it.
This guy
Absolutely.
Says, watch how fast he backpedals from actually receiving any classified war planning. Then you have the complete opposite. Somebody says, Pete, you handed out a minute-by-minute striking timeline, including F-18 launch windows, drone targets, and Tomahawk deployments, like you were texting brunch plans. You literally said target terrorist is at his known location, and now you're pretending none of this happened, blaming journalists for quoting you verbatim. So, look, what I try to do is I try to get down to the nuts and the bolts, because I've seen so many people, guys that I like on social media, people that I don't even know of, that have tried to do all these mental gymnastics in defense of it or challenging it. Ask yourself these questions. And I know we've got more information that has come out, so some of these questions have been answered. But from Jump Street, if you looked at this and you tried to peel the onion back one layer at a time, here's what I would have said if I was Trump behind closed doors to anybody that was involved in this. Number one, did you have Jeffrey Goldberg's number? It's a yes or no answer, right?
And Walz said multiple times in the past few days he did not have him.
Okay.
He did not have his number. He does not have his number in his contacts.
So there's your answer.
Mike Walz has repeatedly said that.
Okay. Number two, if you did have it, or whoever did have it, whoever sent this, why did you have Jeffrey Goldberg's number? Explain that to me. Number three, did you intend to text and include Jeffrey? If yes, explain. If no,
they've said no.
Who did you mean to send anyway?
Yeah.
Because your fingers were operating. So there was an intent to include somebody. If it's not Goldberg, who did you intend to include? Your fingers don't just move by accident. There's something in your brain that says, move my fingers, right?
By the way,
it doesn't happen by accident.
By the way, I know Walt said that he doesn't know him. He doesn't have him in his contact, even though there's pictures of them standing together. That being aside, you can take pictures with somebody and not know them. So, like, I take that at face value. But a reporter found Walt's Venmo account. And you know how when you Venmo somebody, you can make it public? In his Venmo account was Breonna Keeler from CNN, was an MSNBC producer. So this whole thing where it's like, I don't speak to left-wing journalists. I mean,
it's got plenty of contacts.
They're in your Venmo account.
Right.
So,
again,
allegedly.
And my stance
but
was...
But Goldberg.
My stance was that Waltz should be fired.
CNN reporter
expendable.
Is not Goldberg.
That's true. But it's still the same team.
Yeah, but there was not... Here's the whole thing. So a few different issues. My issue is not because I think Hegseth is right. When he put out that tweet yesterday, I was like, good for you. No targets, no locations, no units, no routes, no sources, nobody put in harm's way.
And a successful
mission.
This
is ridiculous. And it was a totally successful mission.
Correct.
And by the way, under the Biden administration, which, you know, as we've repeatedly reported, Biden delisted the Houthis and others, or Houthis. I don't say Houthis because you think I'll talk about Houthis in the blowfish.
I only want to be with you.
Right. But Biden delisted them as a terrorist organization.
Yeah.
They attack the U.S. A reported 174 times.
Yep.
So this was a successful mission to shut them down, mm-hmm. and I think they've been successful at it.
Yep.
And so the media is wrong to not report that.
Well, and
because
that's
significant.
And this is where this is the last 2 points, and it's all media driven for me as far as these 2 points I'm going to make. You know, with everything in this administration under a constant microscope, this is where you do have to be more careful. And this is a self-inflicted, I would say, minor wound, because honestly, the mainstream media, I mean, seriously, they're looking for things to criticize Trump for. You know who's probably pretty happy with a lot of this the last couple of days, if you got him off the record? Elon Musk. I know his Tesla dealerships are still being attacked, but have you heard the words Elon Musk mentioned by the mainstream media the last 3 days? He's almost been forgotten about.
So Newman Price on the YouTube chat says, Dawn, they're missing that maybe none of them added Goldberg,
what I've been saying.
Which, in my opinion, is scarier. Because a 64-year-old reporter from The Atlantic can hack into Signal, then we have bigger problems.
I don't think he hacked.
Then we have bigger problems.
I don't think he hacked.
Yeah,
this is what I've been saying. What I'm saying is that it's feasible that somebody from the inside invited Goldberg, made him think he was invited by whoever, but that it was my theory on this, it was somebody from the inside, a never-Trumper. Think Vindman, okay? So Goldberg, he thinks he's invited. Everybody from the administration is I don't know this guy. I didn't invite him. Who'd invited him?
Yeah.
I believe they're going to figure out that the reason that there's trouble with this encrypted app is not the app itself. It's the other applications you use, and it depends on your device, not an Apple phone, not an iPhone, for example.
Mm. Okay.
So there's that. They were also reporting all kinds of crazy stuff that, you know, this was coming from Russia, and it was Steve Witkoff. Well, Witkoff left his phone at home when he went. So there's just a lot to look into here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Time for a Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
What's on the Cut Sheet on this Thursday, sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, if you hear a squeal or a grinding noise, don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke, and their expert technicians will diagnose the problem. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. That's Meineke.com. Thank you, Meineke, for sponsoring the ever-important Thursday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/1210WPHD. Please join us over there right now. Stop what you're doing. Join us over on YouTube, youtube.com/1210WPHD. Hit the like and subscribe buttons while you're there. Very important to do that. Please.
Do it. Do it now.
Do it now. All right, let's kind of go through some of the audio for what we were just discussing, starting with 19. Pete Hegseth, Dawn reported some of the stuff that he said, but let's play a little bit of this. He was in Honolulu, Hawaii yesterday.
Mm.
Well,
Nobody's texting war plans. Well, I noticed this morning out came something that doesn't look like war plans. And as a matter of fact, they even changed the title to attack plans because they know it's not war plans. There's no units, no locations, no routes, no flight paths, no sources, no methods, no classified information. You know who sees war plans? I see them every single day. I looked at them this morning. I looked at attack plans this morning. You know who does attack plans and war plans? Men like that admiral right there, Paparo, for the Indo-Pacific, or Eric Carrilla, our general in CENTCOM. They do attack plans and war plans, and thank God we have those leaders who do it and do it well, and our enemies know it.
Look, I mean, it's just the lesson learned. Honestly, at the end of the day, you know, there was no casualties. This eventually is a story that will go away. I would have moved on from it if I was this administration quicker. But this is this is a very combative administration, which I like, because, you know, Trump's not the kind of guy to back down to the media. I would just say one other thing. I saw this story. This is from Mediaite. This is where you have to be more careful with all this technology in this world that we live in. The headline is, passwords of top U.S. security officials have been found online, and that includes Mike Waltz, Pete Hegseth, and Tulsi Gabbard. Private contact details amongst most importantly, security advisors to Donald Trump have been found on the Internet. If you want to read the story, you can. It's very detailed. It's really not meant for the cut sheet, but just, again, button it up. And don't make these mistakes again. That simple.
By the way, I've heard...
And there's no evidence that those are current passwords. Because I guarantee... You know how you go through and it goes, this password has been found in a breach. And so you, you
well,
change...
Well, if it's like the Odyssey emails with changing your passwords and then logging into the OneProtect app and entering a code.
Exactly.
It's like getting into Fort Knox to check your work email. They should probably use the same system we have.
But they probably do. The point is, you could... Yeah, Tulsi's... This was Tulsi's password when... From 10 years ago, from 5 years ago, but she changed it. And by the way, even if you had it, it goes to her phone and she has to say, yes, I confirm it's me. So these stories are just, they just don't want to talk about the success of this administration. That's it.
White House Press Secretary Dawn Stengel.
Boom. No, I'm just trying to give the whole
Caroline
story.
Take that, Caroline Levitt. Well, that's how you do the job.
I'm just trying to give the whole story.
Well, for those of you saying that nobody outside the Beltway cares about this, Dave Portnoy tweeted about this yesterday and did a long video on it. 10 million people viewed it. So, like, it is resonating with people outside the Beltway. I know that's the popular thing to say. Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
I'm not saying nobody cares.
I'm saying that all over Twitter. Is people saying that nobody cares about this? Nobody cares about this. Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe. Some people don't, but it is resonating through, you know, other channels, not just the politicos. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Marco Rubio spoke.
That's because the liberal media, it's like spaghetti. They just, oh, we got a stick. It stuck a little bit. Ooh, let's headline with this every day and just hammer people. That's what that is. There's a lot of misinformation in this. I'm just saying.
I'm tired of the story.
And they're not looking at the real issues.
Can we get it back to Trump and DeSantis?
What are they?
We spent
2 more hours talking about Trump v. DeSantis. What are the real issues, Dawn?
The real, at the heart of this.
Baby the deer.
Yeah, baby the deer.
Yeah, let's get back to the deer talk.
I say that we all go find where they're holding at this undisclosed Pennsylvania location and bring baby back.
My favorite video, by the way, we're going to play it. That's why you have to get over to YouTube. My favorite video is Christy Noem in an El Salvador prison, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
And it's visual. You have to see it. It is amazing.
It doesn't matter why she's there.
No,
it doesn't matter what she
awesome,
says.
It is the greatest video. Let's keep going with this. Secretary Rubio.
Yeah, he broke his silence yesterday.
Came out. At least
he's doing a great job.
I give Hegseth and Walls and all these guys credit. At least they're sticking by. You know, they're sticking to their guns. And they're like, nope, we did nothing wrong.
This is the stark contrast between handpicked Trump people like Hegseth and Waltz, who I like, and the guys like Marco Rubio that I'm not really fond of.
Roll this.
Obviously, someone made a mistake. Someone made a big mistake.
Big mistake.
Added a journalist.
Yep.
Nothing against journalists, but you ain't supposed to be on that thing. So they got on there and this happened. I've been, you know, so I can speak to myself and my presence on it. I think my role, I on it was, just speaking for my role, I contributed to it twice. I identified my point of contact, which is my chief of staff, and then later on, I think 3 hours after the White House's official announcements had been made, I congratulated the members of the team. I've been assured by the Pentagon and everyone involved that none of the information that was on there, though not intended to be divulged, obviously that was a mistake and that shouldn't have happened, and the White House is looking at it, but that none of the information on there at any point threatened the operation or the lives of our servicemen. And in fact, it was a very successful operation. It is an ongoing operation.
Yeah, which is what I led with when we started this conversation this morning, that this was a safe and well-executed operation, short of these messages.
Against terrorists!
Let me ask you this.
Do you notice that nobody in like the so-called mainstream media says the operation against the terrorists was successful? Nobody says that.
Of course not. They don't care.
By the way, we've been bombing Yemen and the Houthis every month in 2024. Yes. Yes. That is an absolute fact. Every month, the Biden administration was bombing Yemen and the Houthis every month in 2024.
After they removed them on the terrorist list, though. I mean, you can't sit there and not call. You can't. It's funny how we selectively pick and choose how we define terrorism, right? Like, we don't call that terrorism in the United States when bombs are placed at a Tesla dealership. We don't call it a terrorism when it's the Houthis. Remember,
Houthis.
And I'm not one of these pro-war. So, by the way, Trump endorsed, speaking of war, Lindsey Graham yesterday. So he, because Lindsey, slurped him off, so now Trump is a reciprocal favor. So I'm not one of these bomb anything that moves guys like that mutt Lindsey Graham in South Carolina, but I am all for whipping the Houthis, you know what, because they're the aggressor. They're the ones that continually attack American interests to the tune, Dawn, would you say 174 times?
174
yes.
times.
Yes.
But in early, right when he got into office, I think it was like February.
Yeah.
When Biden got into office, first thing, nope, they're not terrorists. Take them off the list.
Yeah. Well, but I was going to ask before we started this conversation, post Rubio clip, Dawn, you're the journalist. I read a column. I'm trying to find it now. It wasn't Politico, but it was a mainstream website. I was browsing everything yesterday. And the crux of the article was, it's not the journalist's job to protect the government from their mistakes going public in regards to Goldberg. You've talked about it from a journalistic standpoint. What do you think? Is there a universal rule of thumb here for what the journalists should adhere to and how they should have handled this from the moment they were included?
I actually had this debate with my husband yesterday. So I believe that if you're a person of integrity and you are on a group chat that you realize was with top officials, that you would let yourself know. I've been really transparent about the fact I would have totally reached out to the big fish.
I would have too.
Which is Pete Hegseth.
I would have as well. Yep.
Secretary Hegseth, this is, you know, so and so. I've been invited into this.
That is the correct thing to do.
He could have done a better job by immediately, you know, rescinding himself technically.
Well, no,
but it could have been worse, right? He could have ran with it pre-strike.
He never would have run with it.
Yes.
He never would have run with the story because you never ever as a journalist want to impede a situation, even locally. Let's say locally a police officer accidentally, and I do have a lot of police officers right in the they accidentally include me in some kind of a thing, or ICE, or whoever, whether it's state, national, whatever. I would never,
don't
ever.
Don't bring the news here. Wow.
No, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Even if they did, I would say, yo, why am I on here? First of all, I would do it, you know, as I've said, to get their trust and get a bigger story.
Agreed.
And I've done that. I cannot tell you how many times as far as that goes. You're going to get their trust forever. Because you're not going to make them look like an idiot. It's personal.
You are so right. Because think about this story is big news this week, and by next week we're going to be move on to something else.
Right.
Jeffrey Goldberg, you're 100% right, Dawn, could have used this to leverage himself and say, the next big scoop you get, I get first dibs.
Mm-hmm.
And that would ingratiate him with this administration to get more, you know, because then they trust him. Right. Yep.
Well, especially now, you know, especially Trump. I mean, Trump. If you throw Trump a bone, he will throw you a bone back.
Well, it's
if
not
you,
Trump.
Well, yeah, I know.
I'm not saying Trump. I'm saying Pete Hegseth. Because guess what? 2 years down the road, when Secretary Hegseth is in a pissing match with whatever Marco Rubio or Tulsi or whoever, And he just leaks to his friend who did him a favor, that old Jeffrey Goldberg, and leaks him a really juicy story about now somebody that's really causing him agita on the job. That's how those stories happen.
Yeah. Well, agita can be from too much alcohol as well, which I've had to deal with myself.
So let's hear from somebody brought up Caroline Leavitt. Let's hear from her. This is cut 15, Phil.
I think this is this the one where
here are the facts.
The facts.
The National Security Advisor has taken responsibility for this matter. And the National Security Council immediately said, alongside the White House Counsel's office, that they are looking into how a reporter's number was inadvertently added to this messaging thread. We have said all along that no classified material was sent on this messaging thread. There were no locations, no sources, or methods revealed, and there were certainly no war plans discussed. The Atlantic has even admitted this themselves. Their release of these internal messages validates the truth, which we have been saying all along. If this story proves anything, it proves that Democrats and their propagandists in the mainstream media know how to fabricate, orchestrate, and disseminate a misinformation campaign quite well. And there's arguably no one in the media who loves manufacturing and pushing hoaxes more than Jeffrey Goldberg. Goldberg is an anti-Trump hater. He is a registered Democrat. Goldberg's wife is also a registered Democrat and a big Democrat donor who used to work under who? Hillary Clinton. This is the same Jeffrey Goldberg who infamously lied about weapons of mass destruction to get us into the Iraq War, which cost trillions of dollars and thousands of American soldiers. And how else has Goldberg discredited himself? By absurdly claiming that President Trump was Vladimir Putin during the 2016 campaign. By peddling the Russia hoax that tried to hijack President Trump's first term. By inventing the suckers and losers hoax to help Joe Biden in the 2020 election. By peddling a hoax about President Trump involving Gold Star families to help Kamala Harris in the 2024 election, which our campaign at the time vigorously denied. Jeffrey Goldberg didn't care. There's more, but we don't have all day, and we can now add the Signal hoax to this very long list.
There's nothing that she said that's inaccurate there. I mean, I agree with a lot of it. Those are the themes of the Democrats. They like to take a molehill and make a mountain out of it, but still doesn't absolve the fact that somehow somebody was a little too loosey-goosey with their fingers. And again, I hope we get to the bottom of it, and I want that person fired. Absolutely gone. This was one of the most encouraging parts about Trump winning the second term for me, was because now he has a lay of the land in Washington. He can weed out all the rats, the weasels, and the skunks. And at least from my vantage point, it appears that there is still somebody in some circle, could be a low-level functionaire, a staffer, with an axe to grind. And I don't like that on either side. Because I'm a big believer in being able to trust the people that you go to battle with every day, and they've got your back, you've got their back. If that's not the case, it doesn't matter if it's in sports, on the military, in the line of combat. You know, Pete Hegseth, he wants to trust when he's in combat who's next to him. You can't have these little skunks in your operation. Find this person and get rid of them.
In Weird Bedfellows, Fox's Jackie Heinrich and Caitlin Collins kind of teamed up against Caroline Leavitt. Let's start with Fox's Jackie Heinrich. This is cut 16. Roll it, pal.
Go ahead, Jackie.
Thank you, Caroline. So why aren't launch times on a mission strike classified?
Again, I would defer you to the Secretary of Defense's statement he put out this morning. There were various reasons he listed, things that were not included in that messaging thread that were not classified. And again, going back to the American public, do you trust the Secretary of Defense, who was nominated for this role, voted by the United States Senate into this role, who has served in combat, honorably served our nation in uniform? Or do you trust Jeffrey Goldberg, who is a registered Democrat and an anti-Trump sensationalist reporter? This president and this national security team are putting our national security and the American people first. We are restoring American strength around the world, and the results of this operation speak for themselves.
Putting aside Jeffrey Goldberg, though, just for American service members who are going to have to carry out these missions in the future, I guess the message that's coming from the response to all this that we're hearing is that, you know, nothing sensitive happened. And I guess the logical conclusion of that is that if these messages had gone out publicly, prior to the launch that that wouldn't have been a risk to service members. I don't know that they're comfortable with that. So can you explain, you know, had these messages been published, would the plans have moved forward? Would the launch have still taken off?
What I can tell you is that the president, as the commander-in-chief of our United States Armed Forces, and Secretary Pete Hegseth, who is an incredible man and a warfighter himself, take the lives of our American service members with the utmost responsibility, and they would never do anything intentionally to put their lives at risk. And again, they are working hard on that every single day, and we are protecting our service members while also restoring peace throughout this globe. It's something the previous administration has not done. And I would just add one more point. We are not going to be lectured about national security and American troops by Democrats and the mainstream media who turned the other cheek when the Biden administration, because of their incompetence, left 13 service members dead in Afghanistan. And not a single person in the previous administration was held accountable for that botched withdrawal. Joe Biden said, in fact, it was a great operation. That is despicable. It's unacceptable to this president and this Secretary of Defense. The National Security Advisor has taken responsibility for this inadvertent number being added to the messaging thread. But above all, we take the lives of our troops, safety, security, prosperity around the globe with the utmost seriousness.
You know, the easiest way to get down to what was classified, what's not classified, is you don't take the word of Jeffrey Goldberg. You don't take the word of an administration or a defense secretary. You get a military expert, independent, almost like a third-party arbitrator. You lay out all the copy from all the texts, and you say, all right, based on your expertise, what is normally classified versus unclassified? I'd love to have that person speak.
And then right after Jackie Heinrich was Caitlin Collins. Cut 17 here.
Uh-oh. One on a follow-up on something you just said, but since we have these messages released, and you said that the president has now personally reviewed them, at the chat, at one point, Pete Hegseth wrote, 1415 strike drones on target, and in all caps, he said, this is when the first bombs will definitely drop. Does the president feel that he was misled by his national security advisors, whoever it was that told him there was no classified information in there, now that he's seen these messages?
I've now been asked and answered this question three times by the both of you, and I've given you my answer. The president feels the same today as he did yesterday.
Okay, Philip. I might follow up on what you had just said.
Go ahead, Philip.
You girls are grounded.
I have a follow-up on something you just said, though, Caroline. That's
Caitlin, regarding not Jeffrey taking Goldberg. Your follow-up. Philip.
Caitlin, I'm not taking your follow-up. That's as good as Trump 2 days ago when he said, I didn't call on you. Look, I give Heinrich credit. You know, so a lot of people don't like Jackie Heinrich on Fox because she does do some pushback to Republicans. I like it. I think as a journalist, that gives her credibility.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I can't stand Collins.
Everybody knows where Caitlin Collins is coming from. It's more impactful when it's a Fox reporter doing it. In my opinion.
But you got to have that, right?
Yeah.
Like CNN has Scott Jennings. You know, Fox has Jackie Heinrich.
All right. Can I play my favorite clip of the day? This is visual. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT if you want to see this. Christy Noem.
This is so good.
In El Salvador prison with all of these horrendous criminals behind her. And it is like they're all looking at her like she's lunch.
These are soulless, lifeless individuals.
Yeah. She made their day.
100%.
In more ways than one.
Yeah. One of them is... because they're all in their, like, you know, their boxer shorts and stuff. One of them is not going to go home happy,
they don't get
man.
To see this too often in the joint in El Salvador.
This is, I love this. Like, she's being, by the way, she's being ripped online for this. And, like, the snowflakes that are ripping her, like, go F yourself. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, these are probably the same people that are saying they had no problem with these scumbags being in our country.
These are hardened criminals and gang members. And I hope, like, I like the fact that they're all crowded into one cell, too.
On top of each other.
It should be lower, too. Yeah. And, like, every once in a while, they should have, you know, in Star Wars when they're in the trash compactor and it just starts closing like that? That's what I want for this. A little trash compactor that just every day gets a little closer and a little closer and a little closer.
All their heads are tattooed. I mean, these are the most just awful humans.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Make sure you're hitting the like and subscribe buttons while you're there. While every other pretender to the throne goes, oh, let's do YouTube now. We were the originals. We were the OGs. Just remember that. Roll it.
Here at CCOT today and visiting this facility.
It's amazing.
First of all, I want to thank El Salvador and their president for their partnership with the United States of America to bring our terrorists here and to incarcerate them and have consequences for the violence that they have perpetuated in our communities. I also want everybody to know, if you come to our country illegally, this is one of the consequences. First of all, do not come to our country illegally. You will be removed and you will be prosecuted.
Yeah.
But know that this facility is one of the tools in our toolkit that we will use if you commit crimes against the American people.
I love it.
Esa chica está bien buena. That's how you say that's one hot chick in Espanol.
A+. A+, Christina.
Yeah. Can we zoom in?
You can kill as many dogs as you want to. I'm fine with it. Yeah. That is an A+. That is an A+ video right there.
That's right.
But think about what she's doing. I mean, it's brilliant. I don't know if she thought of it or who's on her team.
Great marketing.
But it's incredible because think about the self-deportation that they're trying to do, because the Trump administration is trying to not spend our tax dollars to deport people because it's very expensive. And so by traveling there and shooting this video with these caged guys in the backdrop, you know what I mean? This is the best PR branding video. And that's why I think our brand manager, our great brand manager, Greg Stocker, is celebrating it.
They are stacked in there like products in an Amazon warehouse.
It's amazing. I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
Star Wars, the original thing. Nick never saw it.
No, I'm not a Star Wars guy.
He has no idea what I'm talking about. But they all get stuck in a trash compactor, and the trash compactor is closing, and they have to get out. Of course they get out, because they're the good guys.
Right.
These are the bad guys. Mm-hmm. Every day, it should just inch closer and closer and closer. They never know what day they're going to meet their doom. Well, they never know.
This is like when the Shredder in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles falls into the back of the trash compactor.
Yeah.
And it closes on them and crushes them.
Yeah. I love this.
Look at these guys, all with their head shaved.
Yep.
All with tattoos on their head, their face, their entire body inked up, white shorts. And if you ever get the chance, not that anybody pays for CNN Plus, but you can get it on CNN's website, or the video's probably on YouTube now. They did like a deep video dive, an investigative journalist of the El Salvador prison.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they get 30 minutes a day of out of their cell, and they're in like these group stretches, and they're wearing masks. There's one right there's a guy in the back wearing a COVID mask.
Look at that photo. I love it.
I mean, look at that moron with the flimsy mask on. You think he's worried about COVID instead of the other 800 that are going to probably slit his throat.
They have no idea what's going on. She's doing a video.
Yep. They're all just like, man, this is what we're missing on the outs.
Oh, God.
By the way, speaking of the guy in this freeze frame picture here with the mask on, apparently there was a reporter yesterday at the White House that asked Trump a question while wearing a mask.
Yeah. Oh, we have that.
We have that, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Let's do a little mask pivot here.
This is cut. Where is that? Cut 24, Phil.
Education control to the states. How would you handle it if a state like California were to put in place education control?
You know, I haven't seen a mask in so long. You're wearing a mask. So nice of you. I haven't seen anybody wearing a mask in a long time. It's good. You feel more comfortable, right? Good. That's good. So go ahead.
Total troll. I don't know who that reporter was, but obviously she had a mask on. She asked about education, and she talked about California. Odds are, I'll make an assumption here, she hasn't taken the mask off in 5 years.
That's amazing.
But he's so good.
It is.
That was excellent.
Oh, it's nice to see. I haven't seen those in a long time.
You feel good, right?
You feel safer?
Okay, you be you.
Makes you feel more comfortable, right?
To be in this. We just want you to feel comfortable.
I truly believe he's pissed behind the scenes about the whole signal thing. But I will say publicly, in these settings, whether he's at that desk or the round table where they have these conversations, and this is not an editing issue by Phil. He is so low key and low energy with the microphone compared to everybody else around him. He is such a
sage individual at this point, the second time around. He reminds me of the veteran quarterback that's been through the battles, has been through the wars, the ups, the downs, the three-game win streaks, the four-game losing streaks, and almost nothing is going to agitate him publicly. He is, and that clip right there illustrates it.
Yep.
He has figured out, and he figured it out a long time ago,
yep.
But he is now knows how to handle every single thing that they can throw at him. And he's just sitting back like, I'm 78. You know what? I've been shot in the ear. There's nothing you can do to get under my skin.
Sharon Kennedy wants a replay. I think we should give it to
her. All right, let's do it. Let's run it back. Let's go to the tape.
If you want to return education control to the states, how would you handle it if a state like California were to put in place education control?
You know, I haven't seen a mask in so long. You're wearing a mask. So nice of you. I haven't seen anybody wearing a mask in a long time. It's good. You feel more comfortable, right? Good. That's good. So go ahead.
He should take the Sharpie out and then sign it. Sign the mask.
That kind of extemporaneous, I mean, it's what talk radio is. You know what I mean? Like it's just so quick. It's so quick.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, the big news there yesterday, why everybody was there, was he said that he's going to be doing 25% tariffs on all cars that are not made in the United States. Phil, this is cut 22, I believe. I think I have the audio here. Roll it.
We're going to...
Here, wait. Let's start it over so we can sync this up better. Ready, go.
We're going to charge countries for doing business in our country and taking our jobs, taking our wealth, taking a lot of things that they've been taking over the years. They've taken so much out of our country. Friend and foe, and frankly, friend has been oftentimes much worse than foe. And this is very modest. And what we're going to be doing is a 25% tariff on all cars that are not made in the United States. If they're made in the United States, there's absolutely no tariff. We start off with a 2.5% base, which is what we were at, and we go to 25%. And basically, as you know, and as you've been saying, not reporting as accurately as it should be reported because it's a massive story. Business is coming back to the United States so that they don't have to pay tariffs. And I think also because of November 5th, the election, they're very happy. AI is coming back to levels that nobody's ever seen before. It's a new, sort of a new business, I guess, when you think about it. But it's plants are going up all over the United States, and many of them have already been started. We're getting early electricity taken care of. We're getting permits very quickly for them. And we're going to make their life very happy. They're coming in with tens of billions of dollars. Individual plants will cost $10, $15, and $20 billion.
So the details that you need to know, these will go into place April 2nd, although the experts say the impact of the Trump tariffs will not become clear until the end of the fourth quarter. So we're really not going to see the way this impacts us from a bottom line standpoint, good or bad, until the holidays. Good is these companies all of a sudden, they start doing what Hyundai did. By building that plant in Louisiana. And here's the thing. You know, some people, the mainstream media, they're going to freak out about this. Oh, my God, the cost of a car. Well, if you're not in the market for a car for the next 4 years, it's not going to impact you, right?
Yep.
Like, if you just leased or bought a car, and you're somebody that keeps a car for 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 years, whatever it might be, you're not going to be impacted by it. The new buyers will be, but that's not going to be everybody. So, again, short-term pain for long-term gain. We'll see how it plays out. And, you know, I think Rolls-Royce is out there. Not that many people buy Rolls-Royces or can afford them, but they also kind of bent the knee. So we'll see what manufacturers are out there that decide to say, you know what, $20 billion? Okay, that's better than 25%. Let's go America first. We'll see.
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Please hit the like and subscribe buttons. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Road Warrior who called out the fact that there might be some AI bots on the chat.
Oh, the hell you say.
So
yes, he tweeted that last night, right?
He did. And the more I'm seeing some of these comments from these people, I think he might be correct.
Yes.
Really?
Like
Baxter,
yes. Baxter, if you're a real human, say yes, Greg, I'm a real human. Just write that right now.
Yeah.
Hi, Baxter.
Hey, Baxter. Good dog name as well. We got Buzz, Baxter, and Buddy.
Like, I know Patty C is real. I know Joe Beermaster's real. Mangle Mush, of course. Mm-hmm. Richard H. Shores, yes. Jeremy Burke, we've met him. I know he's a real guy. Carl Mayer's been on from the beginning. Sharon, I know, is real. Shafe, I know, is real. I'm just. Yeah.
Road Warrior says, I don't know if you saw, this was the tweet from 11 hours ago. I don't know if you saw a Baxter on the chat lately.
Baxter wrote Greg, LOL.
Okay.
But it appears to be AI, was on from 3 to 7, and man, it learned a lot from the morning show till afternoon. Which, by the way, I mean, I love the fact that somebody that doesn't like us would spend 11 straight hours in a YouTube chat room. That's just great. I mean, you look at the way we're having success on this show and any other show on this station. Our haters are also the most tuned in people as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can hate it. Just listen. That's all we ask you to do. Mm-hmm. The most listened to radio station, the longest listened to radio station in Philadelphia.
And I love the fact that the haters.
Everybody's writing, I'm real.
Yeah. I'm real too. I love the fact that the haters hang on to every word. Because absolutely. My daughters and wife, they don't hear a word I say.
It's true. It's true.
So I get my ego stroke here, not at home.
Cut 25 here, Phil. Talking about the China tariffs. And he brought up something that I think is interesting, because this was a big story when he first took office, and then it kind of went away. The TikTok deal.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
Well, he made reference to it. Roll 25.
China's going to have to play a role in that, possibly, in the form of an approval, maybe. And I think they'll do that. Maybe I'll give them a little reduction in tariffs or something to get it done, you know, because every point in tariff is worth more money than TikTok. If you think every point, tariff is a much bigger world and TikTok is big, but every point in tariffs is worth more than TikTok. So in order to get China to do, maybe I'd give them a reduction in tariffs as an example. Sounds like something I'd do.
Sounds like a fair plan. Again, my stance on the whole TikTok thing is I don't want to see it banned. But also, you know, I'll say this. The pivot on TikTok is fascinating. And I'm not referring to Trump liking it or Trump utilizing it. You just think about Republicans in general. I gave you those data points a few weeks ago from, I think it was CNN. It was some mainstream media publication. Republicans and conservatives. I really thought TikTok was a left-wing playground. It is not. I totally misread the room on that one. About a year and a half ago, Vivek Ramaswamy was urging Republicans to get on TikTok and utilize it. And they did. TikTok was a factor this past election. You got Barron and Bo Loudon and the, as the left wing calls now, the young tech bros. All of a sudden, you know, it's a negative slant when it's a Republican that utilizes technology. The tech bros.
I know we're going to get to the Snow White story coming up later on, but I wanted to play this. I found this on one of the Twitter sites. I'm not sure which one. But
we can do it now, as long as Phil has that graphic for when we get done playing this.
So this is, I know this is a parody, but it's hysterical. So Disney used CGI instead of hiring real actors, real dwarves.
Mm-hmm. Little people.
So this guy.
So let me get this straight.
You're not supposed to say dwarves.
We've gone from banning the word midget to banning the word dwarf.
Yeah, you can't. David told me this.
Well, this guy, David, who's going to become a Kale and Company contributor. This gentleman is standing outside the Snow White movie theater, and he's holding a sign that says "Hire real dwarfs." So he's saying it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean DML dwarfs lives matter.
Yeah.
I don't know. I butchered
BLM. Them.
So, so there's a protest. There's a protest going on because they didn't hire real little people. They instead did CGI.
Very anti-inclusive.
So this guy went outside of a movie theater and protested. This is amazing. YouTube.com/@1210WPHT if you want to see this video or roll it, film.
It's like nowadays you can protest about just about anything. Well, why don't I begin a protest about the fact that Disney decided to use CGI dwarfs? Not even the real thing. We could have gotten hired. We could have gotten money for something.
No, don't do that. No, don't.
They're so ashamed of the CGI dwarfs. They don't even have it on the first flyer. Well, it's time. It's time to make a movement.
Now you wash the dishes.
He's in the theater where there's nobody. It's amazing. By the way,
was that Hornswoggle?
He kind of looks like Wee Man.
Yeah, from, he does. From Jackass.
Jackass.
We have Randy Newman.
Yeah.
Short Pete.
It's funny to see these videos of people taking videos inside the movie theater for Snow White, and there's literally nobody in there.
It's unbelievable. Phil, if you have the Instagram post, this is a great story. So Snow White's producer, Mark Platt's Nepo baby son, Jonah, unleashed an explosive tirade against the woke Rachel Zegler on Instagram. So apparently, the Nepo baby that works at Disney, and his dad's a bigwig for Walt Disney, flew to New York City to reprimand Rachel Zegler after she was exercising her political viewpoints publicly. To which Nepo baby boy responds saying, "You really want to do this? Yeah, my dad, the producer of enormous piece of Disney IP with hundreds of millions of dollars on the line, had to leave his family to go fly across the country to reprimand his 20-year-old employee for dragging her personal politics into the middle of promoting the movie for which she signed a multi-million dollar contract to get paid and do publicity for. This is called adult responsibility and accountability, and her actions clearly hurt the film's box office. Free speech does not mean you're allowed to say whatever you want in your private employment world without repercussions. Tens of thousands of people worked on that film, and she hijacked the conversation for her own immature desires
wow.
at the risk of the colleagues and crew and blue-collar workers who depend on that movie to be successful. Narcissism is not something to be coddled or encourage."
Why is this guy being? Why is this guy being called out? He's right in everything he said.
He's 1,000% spot on. Rachel Zegler, with her woke politics, publicly yes. coming out, blew this thing to smithereens. And I don't know if people know the backstory to how Snow White took off and Walt Disney took off. But I was reading a little bit about it last night. Walt Disney, the man, mortgaged basically his entire family fortune in the 1920s, early 1930s, and when they created the original Snow White in 1937, with it adjusted for inflation today and today's economic standards, generated $4 billion in revenue. That's B, billion, billion with a B, $4 billion. And you know what the thing is that's so annoying about this, and I can only say this from the standpoint of looking at it from the outside, I love how you have people that are high up in these high-ranking positions that go into a well-established, well-oiled machine that they had nothing to do with the success of, and they drive it into the ground because they're morons. I mean, think about that. The people like the Bob Igers and whoever runs these big companies, there's very few jobs out there like that. And they get in a position where all they have to do, Bud Light, Disney, you name it, all these American institutions, just don't screw it up
yep.
because it's not broke. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And then you interject your politics and you're going to end up. And by the way, they spend $270 million to make the movie. They're spending over $250 million to market it. So it's over $500 million. And their opening gate in America domestically was $43 million. They're going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars because Rachel Zegler is AOC in Hollywood.
Yep.
And rent. And I don't care about that. By the way, my girls asked to go see this. And I'll take them to see it.
Oh, they did?
Yes, they asked me last night. They said, "Daddy, you know what movie we want to go see?"
Oh, boy.
And I immediately knew what it was. Because they saw Wicked in November. They saw Moana 2 at Christmas. And I said, "Which one's that, honey?" She goes, "I want to go see Snow White." I'm like, "Okay. We'll go see it." See, I'm not a bad guy.
Take a little video of you.
I'm gonna film the auditorium and see how many people there are.
And you have to tell us. You have to go to a place where they have the bar.
Oh, that's
right.
That's,
so we can buy you a drink.
That's always the first stipulation. You think I'm drinking the 40 ounce Mr. Pibb?
We should take a break here, but I want to. We have so much more. We haven't even gotten into the stuff from PBS. I know we got into it in the 6 o'clock hour, but for those of you late risers. Where have you been?
We started 6 a.m.
Exactly. We started 6 a.m. Plus, we have the Colorado House legislatures were trying to pass a bill. You'll never guess what they were doing instead of listening and passing a bill. You think your kids are bad? You have to see this video.
Oh, boy.
YouTube.com/at1210WPHD. We will show that, plus all the PBS, NPR, defunding stuff on the other side. And a female police officer sits in her cop car as a citizen is taken out and dragged by a gang of people and gotten the crap kicked out of her.
And doesn't do anything.
We'll have all of that on the other side.
Couple of things first, though. The 8 o'clock hour, which we are halfway through, is brought to you by Natural Lawn of America. From organic fertilizer to safer weed and insect controls, Natural Lawn makes sure that your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Call 800-FREE-SEED now. From free seed to, well, it's not free, but they are pretty good rates. Mercedes-Benz, I can't believe this, at Piazza Auto, with their three Mercedes-Benz dealership locations, there's a couple of Benz models out there that are actually cheaper than my Ridgeline. I didn't think that was possible, but it's true. And the selection, it is extensive at Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City, where they combine luxury with performance across the full line of sedans, SUVs, coupes, roadsters, and more. From the powerful engine of the 2025 C-Class sedan to the impressive towing capacity of the 2025 GLE SUV. You're going to find a luxury vehicle that meets your every need. And you can schedule a test drive today behind the wheel of your dream Mercedes-Benz, or you can shop Mercedes-Benz of Westchester, Wilmington, and Atlantic City. Stop on by or go to the website, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. That's PiazzaPremiumAutos.com.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
My wife and I were at Sam's Club over in Willow Grove a couple of weeks ago buying all of our bulk stuff, like waters and Gatorades and things like that. And, you know, they have their electronics section. You get like an 85-inch flat screen now for like $800.
True.
That's remarkable, isn't it?
It's absolutely true.
I guess nobody really, maybe nobody watches television anymore. Everybody's watching something on a device.
Yeah.
85 inches. I'm getting one for the man cave, by the way. I told the wife. I said, $800? It's like a dollar an inch or something. It's good. We're good.
Dollar an inch.
Vice President J.D. Vance was on the firing range at Quantico. Did you guys see this, him firing this machine gun?
I saw the jacket he had on.
It's pretty badass.
Mm-hmm. It's like me at King Shooters.
I was just going to ask if you did any of this at King Shooters, you wouldn't have the aim as J.D. Vance
does. Oh, God,
does.
No. God love them. They would never let me shoot one of those.
In all seriousness, this is definitely in my lifetime, but this is the first vice president that could do this, correct? I mean,
yes. Well, Kamala Harris.
Certainly not Kamala.
She couldn't tie her shoes.
Who was before her? Mike Pence, no. Who was Obama's?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden, no.
Can you what imagine about Kamala? Joe?
Yeah.
Vice President Kamala Harris?
Who else? Dick Cheney, no.
No.
Who was
Dan Quayle?
Who's Well, Dan Quayle had that. Yeah. Oh no, that was Dukakis that had them. Dan Quayle couldn't either.
G.W. Bush or H.W. Bush?
H.W. Bush. No, he was like a CIA he was like a spook, wasn't he?
He was in Dallas the day Kennedy got whacked.
I don't think he was. All right, watch this video. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. J.D. Vance firing a machine gun.
Base of the target.
That's awesome.
Give it to me. Ready? Empty another clip.
We need to do this in King Shooters, the three of us.
Yeah.
I doubt they have a full military like howitzer.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Stable, considering how powerful it is.
Well, that's the beauty of the
military. That would not be the role that I would pursue. I'd much rather be a sniper. I'd love to be, you know, hidden, camouflaged, laying way back in a window or in a hole in the ground and knock somebody out from like 3/4 of a mile away.
By the way, streaming live on YouTube, youtube.com/at1210WPHT if you want to see this video. So this female, this is cut 30, Phil. This female police officer was suspended after she sat in her car while a violent mob attacked a driver in the middle of the road. This incident happened. You can play the video, Phil, while I read the thing, because it's just video, Nick, if you want to describe it.
And the cop's sitting there with the lights on, and there's another vehicle to the left of the vehicle, of the officer's vehicle, multiple cars 8 yards in front.
These groups of savages are literally beating a guy half to death.
Right. 7-on-1, kicking, stomping.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
This is obviously like a Ring doorbell video or something that we're seeing.
I was going to ask you guys about this before we will comment on the police aspect. I'm seeing a lot of these videos, and again, I don't know that it's happening in a great frequency, but you see these big brawls in classrooms, and teachers don't even bother to interject. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, let it happen, or they pick up the little phone that's in the classroom and call for whoever. But when you're a police officer, and I get it, you know, this defund the police era has a lot of cops thinking, boy, you know, all of a sudden I'll be the bad guy, I'll be the villain here for doing my job, but you are the police here. You either have to step in, or although maybe, I don't know, did you say it's a female officer?
A female police officer is suspended after she sat in her car while that violent mob attacked a driver in the middle of the road.
Did she radio for backup?
The incident happened last week in Miami, Florida. According to NBC6, the man stopped his car in the middle of the road in front of the police car. He then got out of the car to talk to the officer. On his way back to the car, he was jumped by thugs who beat him with a bike and demolished his car. The female officer stayed in her car while the man was brutally beaten. It wasn't until other officers arrived, which you see in the video. Play the video again, Phil. You see the other officers arrive. It wasn't until the other officers arrived that the female cop got out of her car and walked over. The members of the Miami Police Department understand and take great pride in upholding the responsibility to protect and serve our community. We must act for the betterment of our community, said the Miami police chief.
So it looks like that white SUV in the beginning of the video, you don't see the police markings and decals, but it does look like an officer gets out. To me, if I'm in that situation, I'm at least, obviously, first calling for backup. Secondly, getting out, at least pulling out my firearm to maybe de-escalate it, and hopefully everybody sees, oh no, officer with a gun, maybe we should stop. I don't know, what's the next step until the officers get there for backup? Do you tase them?
So let me just ask you something, just going back to the other video that you were showing with the vice president with the machine gun as well as the howitzer. I don't know that you showed the howitzer one because I was looking at, but in any event, imagine if she has a machine gun like that and she just takes aim and just and wipes those guys out.
Yep.
First of all, she would get like life in prison probably.
Well, Ben Crump would have a big payday coming.
But I will say they wouldn't be doing that anymore.
Yep.
All you need is one incident.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. She's a female police officer. She sees a gang like that attacking this guy. Does she get involved? Is she supposed to get involved? I don't know. What's the protocol?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know we have a lot of police officers listening. What is the protocol? And by the way, if you're a man as well, I mean, if you're a man, you're still outnumbered 7-to-1. It's not going to work in your favor either.
The male police officers did jump in. So they did try and jump in to help this guy.
Okay.
I just think she was scared.
Yes.
She was scared out of her mind, and I think that, officially, I mean, she was fired, right?
She was, yes.
Oh, she was fired, okay.
Suspended. She was suspended.
I mean,
she'll be fired, probably.
You know, this individual, so they're saying it's disgraceful, but she will have a lawyer and the union will probably, you know, they'll evaluate this. But the shame of it is, you know, I just think, despite the training or whatever, I think she was scared. And so let's think about this. All the cops the men who've been accused of, you know, being men. This goes to being male, right?
Yep.
Then they're often, in this city in Philadelphia, they're accused of being too rough or overreach or this or that. But it kind of goes back to that movie line of, you want me on that wall.
Yeah.
You need me on that wall.
You need me on that wall. And, you know, I've had, in college, we had this, like, campus rapist. I'll never forget it. And I called 911, and there was a guy trying to break into the window. It was terrifying. And this huge cop. I'm from a family of big men. You guys, you know, this cop must have been 6'7". It was this huge cop comes to my door, and he says, you know, ma'am, open the... And I hugged that off. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I was so glad that this man, this officer had come to my door. And so, you know, and as a woman, I say this, look, I support, of course, every qualified woman to do this. But the problem is with the defund the police movement and all of that's going on. We have officers like this lady who I'm sure is a good person and wanted to do the right thing. But she just doesn't have it.
Yeah.
And that's politically incorrect, or has been, to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's why you're saying it, not us.
That's why I have to say this. But what is the condition of this individual who was like me in college? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Was going to an officer saying, I'm being threatened. And because she's scared and she, you know, she doesn't help.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. They're, according to Road Warrior, they're required to help. So she had to, you know, it's a requirement. To,
right.
You know, that's what you sign up for when you do this. But
I mean,
how
do you not even get out and at least make your presence known by, you know?
She's scared.
Yeah.
And part of that is, I mean, I hate to say it, there's a lot to it. Now, as a woman, if that were me right now, if that happened to me and I'm not a cop, but if I had a firearm, I would defend that person because I would think they're killing that guy.
Right.
And I as a civilian, would get out of my car.
At least got to tase him.
A lot of new commenters and stuff on the YouTube chat. So make sure you're hitting the like and subscribe button. The reason I'm making a big push today. I know that. I know I keep mentioning it, but it's because I don't want others stealing my thunder. That's why. So I just want to make sure.
His thunder.
That's right. I'm getting a little protective of my crew here.
Yeah. By the way, Jan checks in on X and she says, another reason why the woke Snow White will fail is Rachel Zegler is not that attractive. And that comes from a female, Jan, checking in.
Yeah.
But isn't part of this, did we say this, the Gal Gadot, who's Jewish, right?
Yeah.
Because there was a claim that Rachel had made anti-Semitic remarks.
Mm-hmm. She also posted.
So they wouldn't work in the same studio because Gal was like, I'm not going to work in the. So.
She also posted in 2021 on X, F at real Donald Trump. So, you know, she's not a Trump supporter. We know that. It's interesting. A lady saying she's. Does she not. Don, I'll defer to you here. I mean, I have potential replacements in mind. Is Rachel Zegler not the right look for Snow White? Is she attractive?
I think she's pretty.
I mean, I think AOC's hot. But I don't think and I know they kind of look alike. I don't have the same instinctual reaction to Rachel Zegler as I do AOC. I don't know. You know who would make a good Snow White? Caroline Levitt.
No.
Caroline Levitt looks like Snow White in many ways.
Snow White has black hair, doesn't she?
I thought she was blonde. Wasn't she blonde in the original?
No.
No?
What? She's black hair, dude.
I thought she had blonde.
Have you never seen the video?
You know what? If we're gonna get rid of the dwarfs, then we can get rid of black-haired Snow Whites. Let's have a blonde Snow White. I auditioned Caroline Levitt. I stand by that.
By the way, yeah, since we have all these new contributors to the YouTube chat and the YouTube videos, GregStockerSucks.com, go there, donate to the families behind the Bad Children's Foundation. We are going to ride 65 miles from the Ben Franklin Bridge to the New Jersey Shore, Atlantic City, in the summer. All the money goes to support the families of slain police officers. Our goal is $15,000. We need to get on this, so please be generous. GregStockerSucks.com. Go there now.
I mixed up Cinderella and Snow White. Cinderella has blonde hair. So there.
Okay. TikTok instead of legislating?
Hey!
So these Democrat reps from the Colorado House were voting on a bill, And while a speaker was talking, guess what they were doing, guys? Somebody, this is amazing that somebody did this. Somebody took an overhead video of them. They're all playing on their phones.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't us because we don't live in Colorado. But for the people who live in Colorado, this is your tax dollars.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting here on TikTok instead of doing their jobs.
Yep.
That they're only in 3 days a week for anyway.
Yeah.
Roll this. You can see they're all on their phones. That guy's eating.
He's eating a mashed potato bowl.
Let's see what she's seeing. She's scrolling.
Checking her feed.
Scrolling.
Holding a pencil.
Look at those nice leather. It's like a movie theater.
Yes.
Reclining.
Nice little
Barca
lounger. Yeah.
They're all. Look at this. This bro's scrolling.
This guy's got his tie.
Looking
in his
at other
crotch.
Bros.
I was just gonna say, what's he doing, Ed?
Like a male dating site.
Is he on Grindr?
Yeah.
This chick's charging all her electronics.
You can see them with their thumb. They're all scrolling.
Mm-hmm. Every single one.
I hope they all end up with carpal tunnel.
But this is what I mean. This is what I mean about, like, they're not. What are they doing?
Nothing. Doing nothing. Wasting
if
our time and our tax dollars.
If this was a meeting that I was holding and I saw, holy crap! I saw my people scrolling on. I would throw their phones, and then I would get in trouble and fired. But you know what I mean? Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, Mark Wayne Mullen from Oklahoma said, "I have seen my fellow colleagues, DNR, male and female, come back late at night, drunk."
Yeah.
And voting on legislation.
Yep.
So I guess the question is, what's worse? Are tax dollars going towards liquored up congressmen and congresswomen that are voting yay or nay on something that's impactful to our society, or are these schlubs sitting there with their thumbs?
Yep.
Mm.
L.A., Los Angeles has a new district attorney by the name of Nate Hochman. He ended the death penalty ban. I don't know if you guys saw this. Los Angeles moving in a more conservative direction, maybe?
Here comes the California red wave.
I didn't say that. Roll this.
We were to have a Sandy Hook type of situation, and over 20 school kids got murdered by a vicious murderer, or we had a Las Vegas situation, and over 50 people were to be gunned down by a sniper. In those situations, the death penalty would be back on the table for consideration.
Hochman says prosecutors may call for the death penalty in special circumstance murder cases and says it will only be pursued after an extensive and comprehensive review. Under the prior DA, George Gascon, seeking the death penalty was off the table. Keep in mind, the last execution in the state of California was back in 2006, and since 2019, Governor Newsom has had a moratorium on executions. Newsom saying it's immoral and costly to taxpayers.
So I'm assuming he's still a Democrat, right? He's not a Republican.
Of course.
But, you know, there is this poll out there, I'll believe it when I see it, that 48% of registered Democrats are open to voting Republican in the 2026 California governor's race. So we'll see. Again, I don't think California is going to go red, but it's got more of a history of going red than Philadelphia and New York in recent years, so we'll see. I love that, by the way. I mean,
special circumstances, though, I don't know if I love that. Like,
What do you mean by that?
Look, if there's another Sandy Hook, absolutely. If there's somebody who's, you know, but like, how about for child rapists? Yes.
Yes.
How about for those gang members that beat the crap out of that guy? Yes.
Yes.
Like, seriously. Well, only for special circumstances, no.
But you love the firing squad.
Oh, I love the firing squad.
Yeah.
I think we should put more people to death, honestly.
The South Carolina stalker firing squad.
Is it more expensive, Dawn, to put somebody to death and to house them in a jail for their entire lives?
It is.
Really?
It's the average, and the average, generally speaking, because they get so many appeals, you have to house them, special, all this stuff. So the average is $1 million per. It's, believe it or not, it's cheaper to just lock somebody up for life.
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Because they get more rights and more privileges, and the appeals process just goes on forever and ever. And so some people argue you're further, you know, hurting the family. But that was why, like with, you know, Marissa Fitzgerald just yesterday, the family was very, we should probably maybe should have asked her that, but, you know, the family was very upset of Sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald murdered, gunned down at close range.
Yep.
And that defendant, after 2 years, is still, you know, facing trial. Mm-hmm. But the family, remember this? We talked about it. The Fitzgerald family was very upset locally that they took the DA Krasner, they took the death penalty. They said they're taking that off the table.
That's outrageous.
It really is. And by the way, I'll do it for 10 grand. just invite me to your state, fly me out there, pay me a stipend. I'll kill all of them. I don't care. No problem. And so no problem.
You know, the year 2020 was a bad year, to your point. You know? Because it was George Gascon who, in 2020, his predecessor, who took the death penalty off the table. And so this DA is just saying it's an option for juries, judges, et cetera. Yeah. Leave it on the table. You can refute it in each case-by-case scenario, but at least have it there.
Yeah. We just got another donation, speaking of Marissa Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Paul has donated $25.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it, Matt. Thank
you. Our goal is $15,000, and we are now at $420.
Come on.
And we just got this bad boy started yesterday.
But let's get it up to $1,000. Can we? Can somebody make a... Can everybody right now go to gregsockersucks.com? Let's do $1,000. After seeing that and hearing that story about what Dawn just said, all the money goes to families like Marissa Fitzgerald. All the money goes there. Here, locally.
And her young children.
And her children, yes.
Richard says on X that the L.A. County DA is a Republican.
Oh, is he?
That's what Richard on X says. So if Dick on X says it, it must be true.
Yeah.
So maybe we can get some clarification on that. Let me go to wrap up the hour. Wild Bill is in West Grove. Wild Billy, what's up, pal?
Oh, man, that's a great introduction. I got to tell you, we can all Monday morning quarterback on that police officer, and it's a shame she probably froze up. But if she was outfitted with at least, you know, mace, rubber bullets, or, you know, beanbag bullets, and then go to taser and then find lethal. But, you know, it's easy to quarterback it, but, you know, just hope she makes out for the best. But she probably froze up really bad. And that's why you have to have good combat training.
Yep.
Amen.
You're absolutely right.
Hey, guys, you guys are great. Can I comment on one thing? Christy Noem, she's not only hot, but she's on fire.
Yeah,
I agree. Gorgeous.
You guys have a great day. Thanks,
you too.
Wild
Bill. There he is.
Thanks, Wild Bill.
Wild Bill Hickok from West Grove checking in.
I think what's gorgeous about Christy Noem is that she is as strong and committed as she is fit and good looking. And I think that's what, when he's saying she's hot, you know, and on fire. That I just hear men and women. This is not, you know what I mean? That she's somebody who, yeah, she's incredibly fit. We've seen her work out with her husband, her kids, and the dance video and all that stuff. But she's just so on point right now. And I think that's just fabulous to see.
It's what those MS-13 members were saying.
We were like,
ay, caramba.
We really have to break.
Kale and Company. I'll settle down and we'll be back after this. Stay right there.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.